these. It happens every night, every old night.
I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Ah.
Summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you out another time.
Say.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care.
Not even kind of.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budget live, not so live from the low budget live bar and grill in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. It's a cold old southern middle Tennessee right now, but I hope all of you lowlifers are staying warm out there and you're doing well in this first week of the new year. And this is the podcast for Monday. Yes, we are back on a Monday, January the 8th. Hope I'm getting that right. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Yes, look at the phone. I'm recording on Sunday. Yes, tomorrow will be the 8th. This is the podcast for Monday, January the 8th, you bunch of lowlifers. And that was my song, Biloxi Blues. I know I say this, and y'all think, some of y'all are like, oh, man, he's just saying this to say it. No, I still get comments every week. People want to know where they can find that. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, the YouTubes. You can listen to it all kinds of places. And it's by me, Biloxi Blues. I appreciate that. Appreciate y'all. New year, same song indeed. I want to start this week's show. I just got to say a huge, huge, huge thank you. Last week was very, it's one of those put yourself out there weeks. I do that a lot here. And to know that so many thousands of people, A, watched it, and that so many reached out to me about my decision to leave TH Marine. And that includes lowlifers, that includes industry people that I know well, industry people that I don't know. There's been very, very little negativity. And you always are concerned, at least somewhat in the back of your mind, of, you know, how something will be taken. Because I spoke the truth on a lot of things, and it's been fantastic, man. Whether that be current TH Marine employees, former TH Marine employees reaching out, customers of mine, it was just awesome. It's been a really awesome week, and I just want to thank y'all first and foremost, the lowlifers, because the comments, sharing your stories, man, I did the same thing, and I did this, and my life went this way, or the people saying, hey, man, I needed to hear that today. Awesome. Awesome start to the year, so I greatly appreciate each and every one of you, and I took that momentum, that positivity train, up to the Big Rock Show in Nashville, Big Tackle Distributor, and the folks from Eagle Claw Fishing. Shout out Ryan McCullough and Mike Jackson and crew for having me up. Drew McGill for having me up there. The crew, they got me a badge. I got to take my son Charlie with me. Charlie. If you heard the Christmas story last week, you understand that. Charlie, I was going to leave him in Nashville, but he would just end up loving it too much, so I brought him back home. But we got to roam the show. I got to see so many friends and faces. Even saw stupid Gerald and little dumb Trey, LOB Trey. But saw a lot of friends, man, and it was a very good day walking around that show. Got to see so many. Got to see some lowlifers, and it was a good day. I like getting out, and there's going to be a lot of that this year. I'm going to be on the streets, going to be out there shaking hands and seeing the folks. So lots going on, lots of it was, you know, to say your piece last week like I did and then shut the book, you know, close the book on that chapter at least in your life was something I needed to do. And it was, by all, you know, signs that you get in life, it was definitely the right decision. So, and I knew that already, but we're moving forward, and I cannot wait. I sound like Iaconelli again. I cannot wait to share with all of you what I have going on and what I'm working on, but just a little longer, and then we're going to let the cat out of the bag. But man, it's very exciting right now around here. I can tell you that. Let's thank some sponsors and let's jump in. We got a lot to talk about today. We got a great guest lined up for this one, and yeah, let's thank the people that make this all happen, because as I have found out, they're the most important. I want to start by thanking Eagle Claw Fishing. Eagle Claw Fishing, you can get your trocars, you can get your laser sharps, but dude, if you're going pan fishing and you walk in Walmart, where are you going to see Eagle Claw? Eagle Claw everywhere. Been in business for many, many moons. Absolute rock stars. They're great people, man. I've just worked with them for 10 years now. But Eagle Claw, if you're having a tough decision over hooks, get you some trocars if you're, you know, out there bass fishing it up. If you're going bluegill fishing, get you some Eagle Claw. Get some old bronze Eagle Claws there. But I want to thank the people at Eagle Claw for always being in my corner. That's for sure. ProGuideBatteries.com is where you can find those beautiful ProGuide batteries, the ProGuide Lithiums, the ProGuide AGMs. They're fantastic too. Maybe your budget doesn't fit. Maybe you were low budget like me. Maybe your budget doesn't fit lithium batteries. They have great AGMs as well. They're a little heavier than the lithiums. They don't charge back as fast, but I promise you, I ran those as trolling motor batteries as well and cranking battery for many, many years and never had any issues. So you've got choices. They have the new lithium cranking batteries, the lithium trolling batteries. They're all on the website, ProGuideBatteries.com. And if you get on there, you can use the code LBL10 to save you money. LBL10 lets them know you're a low lifer and saves you money on some of the best batteries in the game. Folks have been in the battery business many, many years. ProGuideBatteries.com. Bait-Works.com. Bait-WRX.com. And again, some folks that are in my corner that I'm grateful to have once again for 2024 and beyond. Love the folks at Baitworks. And if you don't want it, don't order it, because it's going to show up. And unless you're like me and somebody steals it off the porch, it'll still be there. But I had a box of LOB jigs stolen during Christmas that we cannot find. They were showed to be scanned in, delivered here, and they have disappeared. I hope it was just a mistake, but starting to, you know, the one porch I don't have a camera on supposedly is where they were left. So imagine that. But they will get you your goods. If you're trying to plan around a wife's trip, you know, hey, I'll order them here. She'll be gone next week. Don't do that. They're liable to meet her coming up the driveway. Don't do that. Bait-Works.com. Duncan-10's where you can find the online exclusive LOB jig. We are starting to get those in some dealerships, though. Those are going into some tackle dealers around this year. Very exciting. But the LOB jig available online exclusively. Duncan-10 saves you money on all of it. It's the time, it's cold, you're sitting around. Go buy you some tackle, use Duncan-10. Bait-Works.com. And last but not least, hang that imaginary banner. Express Boats, another one of those companies that have been doing it for a very long time, and a family-owned and operated business, and I could not be more proud to be with them yet again. Anxiously awaiting my new ride. Going to try to go get it this week or next week. All the pieces and parts are in for my new X21 LE with the 250 Yamaha show, fastest hole shot in the game. You got that C-deck bow to stern, man. That EVA foam flooring is the juice. I love it. I don't know why we have carpet in bass boats. Carpet ticks me off. But 96-inch beam, more tackle storage than you can shake a stick at. Stable platform. Aluminum gets a knock for not being stable. I'll assure you that 21 is not that way. I fished three people in it a ton. I fished four people in it a lot at times. But absolute stable fishing platform. No issues, man. No issues. My favorite boat that I've ever ran. It's an honor to get to do so. And I appreciate the folks from Express thinking enough of me to keep on supporting me through the years. You can go check them out, expressboats.com. You can find a dealer there. Go check one out. Get out to the boat shows, people. Get out to the boat shows. Maybe you're in the market for a boat, but a $100,000 fiberglass boat ain't in the budget. Go check out an Express aluminum boat. I promise you, you're not going to sacrifice anything. They got the X19, X21, H17, so many different models. Go check them out, Express Boats. Building excitement since 1966. All right. Like a newscaster. Lots to talk about, lots going on. Some positive, some negative, some meh. You know, it's fishing. It's the pro fishing world. It's what I talk about on here more than I don't. And so last week, I in my overall, and it's just funny, the timing of things, but, and I'd like to think I have something to do with some of this. And I know I do on one part of what we're fixing to talk about. It's that people do try to control the narrative, and that was my whole spiel with corporate America, you know, the corporate, at least in my experience, and so many others that commented. But then I kind of, you know, we segued that into MLF, and that there was a rumor that an angler had been fined out there for speaking his mind, mainly on this show. Okay, so this show has its first $10,000 fine, it would appear. So I received an email from someone within the Major League Fishing organization. And so now, and I don't, and look, the way it was described to me is this hasn't been the case that they've been this transparent before in regards to penalties. But hold on, I just want to read this. Per our agreement with the, and this was sent to the anglers, per our agreement with the MLF Angler Association to disclose all disqualifications, penalties, and or fines to the Bass Pro Tour field, please be aware that a fine of $10,000 was issued to James Watson. It should have said LBL. That would have been hilarious. This fine is a result of disparaging comments he made in violation of 3E standards, in all caps, in the 2023 and 2024 Major League Fishing Angler and League Participation Agreement. So it's in a contract. It's specified as a remedy in Section 3F damages. Specifically, these sections state. So Watson was, you know, he got on here and he turned loose, and he turned loose on a couple other things, but he turned loose here first, and then this was the result. And I said last week, you know, this is definitely going to try to send a message to the folks that are paying customers. So standards, here's the rule. MLF may, at its option, terminate this agreement upon 30 days written notice or suspend the agreement with no prior notice. It's in MLF's sole discretion during the term. Angler takes any action other than legal action or arbitration arising out of this agreement or makes or authorizes statements deemed by MLF to be in derogatory of MLF or its products or sponsors, and such actions or statements become public during the term. Any of the acts described above will be deemed a material breach of the agreement, and MLF will take all commercially reasonable efforts to evaluate the situation. So if you talk bad about a sponsor, you got a, you know, a Poulan weed eater or whatever. It's Toro. They're Toro. You know, you got that Toro weed eater. I think they got that. I don't know. And your Toro goes out and you're like, damn, it's Toro. You're like, they could fine you. The thing is it's like one of those fictitious things. Like, how do you decide what the penalty is? So $10,000 is harsh, right? And I think that's like, hey, bud, obviously it's like swinging at a cloud. A little bit, they just decide, well, it's $10,000 because that's a lot of money. It's going to scare some folks. Keep them. I ain't going to listen. You're a guy that can barely pay your entry fees. Well, I ain't going to say anything. That's my opinion. And find me if you don't like my opinion. A lot of people do like my opinion, though. A lot of your anglers like my opinion. I'd say about, 80% of them, 85% of them. Talked to several of them this week about this. And so damages, if an angler breaches any material obligations under this agreement, MLF has the right to revoke the angler's privileges to compete in MLF events and the right to levy fines against the angler in the sole discretion of MLF. But there's not like a, you know, it's up to this amount in fines. This is all just, and I do think it's very much in line with what we see in pro sports where, how do you decide? I mean, they may have wording that says if you cuss out an official or if you do this on social media, it's this amount of fine. There are a lot of problems I see with this. Obviously, I talked about it last week, but it says James has agreed to pay the fine and will continue to compete as a Bass Pro Tour angler. This information is confidential and intended for Bass Pro Tour anglers only. It was not confidential because I got it multiple times, as a matter of fact. I got it multiple times. So here's the same as last week, man. And I don't want to just beat on MLF all the time. Here's my problem with that. If I'm a paying customer, again, I got a right. I can say what I want to say. If I think Boyd Duckett sucks, and that's what Watson said, if I think Boyd Duckett shouldn't compete, I can say that. If I think that entry fees going up sucks, I can say that. I understand why you try to protect yourself. Look, I'm involved in the NPFL. I'm involved in a league that that people can talk about. You want to wear your heart on your sleeve. I understand you want to stop negativity at times, or you do need to get that message out there, right? But when it's just written on the wall and like you wrote it, like the more you try to control the narrative, the actual truth comes out most of the time. And I think they are very much victim to that. They're very much victim to that. And I think that the more you try to go, look over there, we're perfect, that your true colors show. And I think, man, the anglers fishing, they know the truth. There's a small group of them that don't care either way. And I understand that. I talked to one of those guys this week. I get it. They just want to go fishing. They want to stay out of the drama. But I think for the overall, and who knows where all this is headed, but for the overall, I think you got to be transparent. You can't tell me it's an angler driven league and then a guy can't speak up. Right. And I think James is a repeat offender because he's that dude. He's going to tell you what he thinks all the time. He's not just going to lock in step and say, yeah, I'm okay with you changing all this every 5 minutes, or you doing this or you doing that. He's going to speak up. It's James. But in my opinion, what this was meant to do is for the guys that aren't like James, because James can afford it. It's a big check, but James is a successful guy. But I think what this is meant to do is very much keep everybody else on their toes. And I think it's going to make for a lot of boring podcasts, but I think it's going to, just like that, dude, multiple people sent me that because they're pissed. They want an outlet to be able to express themselves, and now they can't, or they feel like they can on their own social media. And it's like I talked last week, they had a BFL tournament director that was very much making disparaging comments publicly on their Facebook. That's one of their employees, about all the changes. He can do that, but anglers can't speak up that are the actual customers, and your product that you're selling are the anglers. So I don't know. It's and another thing that I'm hearing, and I think this is what pissed guys off this week, is through all of the, because there's been a lot of gray area stuff that's happened, right? There's been failed polys, the rumors out there. A lot of fans know about that because guys talk. There have been things like that. There have been rule infractions. There have been just, Boyd's fishing an off limits. Well, he gets a slap on the wrist. There's been so many things. And this is really one of the first times that they've been like, we just wanted to inform everybody what's going on, because they don't inform anybody of anything. Sometimes things happen and nobody's been informed on anything other than maybe four or five. And then the rest of the group's like, what? And that certainly has happened. So I think that's why there are frustrations on that. And look, man, people want to be able to talk. They want to be able to speak up, especially if they're paying you 40 grand or however much, paying you thousands of dollars, so you can go sell sponsorships that those said anglers fish your league. I don't know, man. I don't know. And look, I think if they made it 100 boats, they'd have 100 boats. If they made it 20 boats, they'd have 20 boats. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think that these decisions are being made for certain reasons, on lowering the fields, obviously, and different things. But there's still some sharp people over there. They just make really dumb decisions sometimes. Very dumb decisions. But moving on from that, man, that's just, y'all let me know what you think. I know you will in the comments, but that is very much news. If you're, and again, for me, I've told James this multiple times, like, I just wouldn't fish it. I told him that this week. When I heard this news, I called him and it's bull crap. I wouldn't fish. I wouldn't give them my money. I wouldn't fish a BFL. I wouldn't fish a Toyota. Even though I love a lot of folks in that organization, I wouldn't give them my money, man. I just wouldn't. But James is going to, because that's his platform, and that's fine. But I just wouldn't. I wouldn't be one of those guys. I couldn't do it. Obviously, y'all know me. I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. And transparency is king. But moving on. Big news for the National Professional Fishing League, which I'm a part of, proud to be a part of. We announced our fields, our biggest field yet. They were trying to get to 130 this year, and they ended up a 127. And I think in this climate, this economic climate, that's pretty damn stout. So 127 on the roster, and man, I've had a lot of – I just was on the edge of talking about it last week, and I had a lot of things I wanted to get off my chest, obviously, and they had not made the official announcement. So here we go. And I know this has been talked about several times by folks, but something on the story that was on the MPFL website that really rung out to me in the headline was a blend of fishing legends, seasoned pros, and enthusiastic rookies. And, man, if there's ever been a more perfect headline, I haven't read it. And that's very true because, dude, we got legends. We got legends. You got Tommy freaking Biffle, dude. David Fritz, come on. David Fritz. Daryl Robertson. What? These guys, Forest Wood Cups, Bassmaster Classics, Bassmaster Elite Series wins, just FLW Tour wins. Freaking stone cold. And Daryl fished with us last year. But the addition this year, Biffle and Fritz, unbelievable, man. And for me, a little bit, getting to commentate, I got to pinch myself. I do every day when I wake up anyways, but got to pinch myself. Those are my dudes from my childhood. Those are my childhood fishing heroes. So to know that they're involved in this organization this year, holy crap. Holy crap. But let's get into some of these seasoned pros that are joining us this year for the first time. Drew Cook, Bassmaster Elite Series Pro. Of course, you got Patrick Walters coming back. This is his third year in the league. He's a damn veteran league pro now. But Walters will be coming back. Joseph Webster, Bassmaster Elite Series Pro, former FLW Tour Pro, an absolute stone cold fish catcher, is joining us. How about Bassmaster Elite Series Angler of the Year, current reigning Angler of the Year, Kyle Welcher, joining us. That was a last-minute ad. Former Bassmaster Elite Series Pro and former FLW Tour Pro J. Todd Tucker joining the party. We got, and this one could be a legend for me, just like Patty Walt. Patty Walt will go down being a legend. John Cox. John Cox. Cox Watch. Back to the NPFL, Cox Watch. John Cox, he's a legend in my book. John Cox, former FLW Tour Pro. Now, some of y'all out there may not know, but this dude is a veteran tournament angler, very successful tournament angler, very successful in the fishing industry in many, many forms and fashions. Jason Miniger joining us. Pete Pons, former Bassmaster Pro, former FLW Tour Pro. That old Ross Barnett bass catcher himself, Pete Pons, joining us. David Williams, Bassmaster Elite Series Pro, FLW Tour champ. He's won a bunch of crap. Go look it up. David Williams. This guy's caught a few in the FLW Tour and the Bassmaster Elite Series. How about Buddy Gross? How about Buddy Gross joining the party? How about Jay Willie? Jason Williamson, Bassmaster Elite Series champ, coming back this year. He set out last year. He fished year two, him and his brother Dustin. They're back. They're both back this year. And I'm probably leaving somebody out, but rounding out some of these new or names that I know, very familiar with, Scott Wiley, FLW Tour Pro, fishes Bassmaster Opens, fantastic angler. Wiley's joining us. And man, these guys are going to join the likes of the young guns like a Will Harkins and a Hayden Hammond that we've got. We got a new young gun, Brock Bela, Big Brock, going to come in there from Missouri. Really anxious to see how these new names, whether they're names we know or the names we don't know, because what I've learned in the MPFL in 3 years is just because we don't know a guy don't mean they're not stone cold, because I'm going to run you through some names that, you know, the Todd Goads of the world, Timmy Reams, one of the best fishermen I've ever covered, ever been around, Gary Atkins, Mike Corbishley, Trent Palmer, Jesse Wise, Kevin Martins, Jesse Millsap's coming back this year. Fished the first couple seasons with him. He's back. Hunter Bogman, Baron Adams, Matt Massey's, Matt Mollahan's. We've got so many guys. Buck Mallory, former MPFL champ, coming back this year. Fished the Opens last year. He's coming back. We've got it's a stout freaking list of fish catchers, man. And I'm leaving some guys out that have fished all 3 years in the league. We got a lot of new faces, but we're going to learn a lot. And I think the competition, the field was small last year at 76, and it was the most competitive I'd seen it in 3 years, in my opinion. This year's going to be stupid, man. It's going to be stupid. We tee it up here in about 3 weeks. Logan Martin Lake, really, first week of February. And other than, I think most of these guys, there might be one or two that can't make that first one because of a conflict, but most are fishing all six. It's going to be a wild year, man. It's going to be a wild year, but we tee it up there first week of February. And we're going to talk to a guy. Oh, somebody almost forgot. Matt McBee, Tater Hog himself, Mr. Tater Hog Swim Baits. Shout out Tater. He's coming to get a dose. He's coming to get a dose. That list, go look at it. It's at tnpfl.com. Go check it out. It's, man, I couldn't be more proud to see those names. It's a vote of confidence and vote of confidence in what we're doing. And I think it's going to be a damn good year. And I'm ready to, I'm chomping at the bit. I got my first Alabama Bass Trail coming up in a couple weeks, man. And, and it's on Logan Martin as well. So, man, I'm going to be ready for some coverage on Logan Martin. I'm going to know every rock on that place after spending some time there. So, cannot wait to get things rolling, baby. Cannot wait. All right. Our guest today, I left off of that list, but he's very much on it. He's very much on it. He has almost $1 million. I'm going to say he's won over $1 million bass fishing when you add it all up. But just on the MLF side of things, FLW, started his career on that side, been there pretty much. He's fished some opens as well. But he's won just shy of $1 million over there. I'd say he's over $1 million. He is very outspoken. He is somebody that I have had on many times that I respect. I consider him a friend. He's a good dude, and he's a great dad, a great husband. He's a fantastic freaking bass fisherman. We're going to talk to him right now about him joining the MPFL. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Burge. All right, as promised, here he is, one of my favorite guests. I've had him on many times, one of my favorite folks in the fishing industry, Zach Burge, BPT pro, former FLW tour pro. He's fished the opens, he's been everywhere, but he's coming to the MPFL this year. When I saw that name pop up on the list, I was grinning ear to ear. So welcome back to LBL and to the MPFL.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I've talked about it for, you know, a couple of years. I tried to fish, and, you know, we've had a lot of conflicts with scheduling and things like that. And fortunately, unfortunately, I didn't make heavy hitters, you know, this upcoming year. So that took one conflict away, and I'm just going to have to miss the very first one, and I'll be able to make 5 out of 6 events. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm excited to just show up and, you know, fish with some fresh faces and, you know, a lot less stress.
Well, there's some fresh faces, and there's some faces that have been around a minute that are fishing with us this year, man. You got everything from A to Z. I haven't talked the roster on here until this week, just because I've been hearing rumors and I've seen a list, you know, as it's been going along, but man, the finalized list was crazy to see. And no pressure, but there was a guy last year that only fished 5 of 6 events, and he finished like third dangler of the year, and he won 2. So no pressure at all.
Yeah, no pressure. That, you know, I saw what he did, and I was thinking, man, hell, there's a chance I can, you know, still make championship even if I miss one. So that's kind of my goal. You know, I knew I was going to have to miss the one, so I've already, you know, I'm fighting from behind. So.
So you won't be at Logan, you won't be at the kickoff, but you'll be at the rest of them then. That's right. Good.
Yep.
Are you guys fishing that same week, BPT? And is that Toledo Bend week, that same week?
Yeah, we're Toledo Bend. That's correct.
Are you looking forward to starting that early? That's pretty damn early in the year, I feel like. Same with MPFL. It's an early start.
Yeah. I kind of am. You know, at the end of the year, I'm ready. I'm done. I'm ready to hunt. Like, you know, if I've had a mediocre year, I'm ready to wrap it up. I've got hunting on my mind. I've got this whole other business that I try to run during the off season. And, you know, I try to make this successful as I can for guys coming out here shooting ducks and geese. And I look forward to that. You know, if we've had a great year, it you know, I kind of like to drag it out a little bit. And I had a mediocre year last year, so – we've had a great off season. I've got no complaints about it for the weather and stuff that we've had. But I'm ready. I got my boat dialed in. It's getting wrapped in a few days. So I'm ready to go. I'm getting antsy. Every day I'm getting a little more and more fired up.
Well, it's there's no doubt those ducks out there, and I say this to you every time I talk to you, I think forever since I've known you, but those ducks are ready for your season to start. I feel like they get tired of that out there. The duck population in Oklahoma will grow when you get back on tour. You get to rolling around the country.
They'll definitely be less stressed out, that's for sure.
Man, have y'all had a good duck season? You know, I hear mixed this year, and I know I got a lot of duck hunters that watch this show, listen to the show, but, man, it seems like it's been depending on who you talk to, the weather's so crazy, man. And we don't even have ice up north yet in a lot of pockets of the country. It's crazy, this weather.
It's been really good for the lack of weather we've had. We've had no weather, obviously, when Canada and the Dakotas and, you know, all the Midwest stays open with no snow cover and mild temps all year. The ducks, you know, they're not going to fly any further than they have to. And when that happens, you know, that just means we've got fewer and fewer birds to chase. The ones that are here are stale. But we put in a ton of time and effort throughout the summer and work and putting water in places that didn't have water and food in places that didn't have food. So the birds that have been around have worked really good. We've shot a good bit. All of our clients have been extremely happy. So that's the goal. They leave happy. We're happy. They rebook for next year, and we continue to do business.
That's awesome, man. And I love that. I see everything you got going on all the time. You're one of my favorite follows on social media. And man, I wanted you to speak to that. And I think we've talked about this on the show before, but man, I see you out there running heavy equipment and all the things you get yourself into, and you're guiding for ducks and you're doing these things because I think you're very smart guy. But so many fishermen, we've seen it this offseason, people complain, and there's almost an entitlement, right? Like, we do see that. Hey, man, I'm a pro. I should be getting more. But you bust your ass on the water, but you do a lot off the water as well to keep your family fed.
Yeah, no, you're not really entitled to anything unless you bust your ass for it, right? So that's what we do here for our clients that come to hunt. You know, we work as much as we can during when I'm actually fishing. We schedule weekends to show up to work and get things done. When it's fishing season, when I'm at an event, I do everything I can there to do as good as possible and do my job both on and off the water. And then we've got a dirt business here that I'm running skid steers, excavators, things like that. And amongst that, so there's literally no days off. Like, I would get more rest if I had a normal 8 to 5 days a week job. I'd probably feel like I'd probably feel crazy because I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Listen, you know me. I'm the same. Like, I wouldn't know what to do if I just clocked in and out and that was it. There was nothing after that, you know? I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, I'm daylight till dark about every day. I'm doing something that's productive, whether it's for hunting stuff or trying to get ready for fishing or for the dirt business or something. I don't even know what a day off is.
I don't either, man. I tried to take a little bit of time around Christmas, and it's hard. I find myself up at midnight on the computer or doing something. I mean, I can't help myself, man. It's just how I'm built. And you're very much the same way. There's no doubt about it. And like you said, you're not entitled to any damn thing. You bust your ass and things will happen. That's right. For sure. And dude, what you do is very expensive. On the fishing side, I ran into this week, I ran into an angler here at my buddy's wrap shop, Fishes BPT with you. And he was telling me that last year it cost him $100,000. He was getting his taxes ready and he said it cost him $100,000. And he's a very successful one of your, I'm not trying to tell his business. I won't say his name, but he wasn't complaining, but he said, man, I'm getting my tax stuff together right now. He said it cost me $100,000. To be a pro fisherman last year.
That's crazy.
That's insane, dude. That's insane.
Yeah, that's an astronomical amount for just to fish. But I can see it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you take entry fees and expenses, you know what I mean? Travel expenses. But he said it was right at $100,000. Of course, gas has been a lot higher the last couple of years. He said, you know, that's inched up. you know, almost, I think he said $7,000 or $8,000 higher than it was in 2022. So he's like, man, that was astonishing to see. But just lodging had gone up, and the food when you're on the road with inflation, man. But that was an astonishing number. My buddy that runs a wrap shop was like, his eyes just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. He's like, holy shit, this is, but that's the reality of it, man. If it's pay to play, still, unfortunately, and has been for a very long time, but the expenses part will always be the expenses, but, entry fees and everything obviously eat up a big chunk of that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I mean, our entry fees aren't getting cheaper by any means each year, and everything else is getting higher. Everything adds up, you know, our expenses each year are more and more and more, and, you know, we're really not making anything more. So it's hard. It's tough because, you know, what I absolutely hate is having to tell the younger guys starting to fish, like, it's hard. It's not easy. And if you don't have, you know, a pristine setup where you've just got a unlimited funds or something like that, you're very fortunate in that case. It's not easy. It's not something that's just going to say, yeah, I can do it. I'm going to do it. You got to have the work ethic and drive to make sure you're on top of everything and can compete at every level and make some money in tournaments, but also, you know, sell yourself to people that'll pay you a little bit so you can actually keep. It hurts me to tell them that but I don't want to lie to them and say, yeah, you know, it's easy. You can do it. It's really not. It's really hard. But yes, you can by any means do it. It's tough. I hate having to tell people that, you know what I mean?
Well, but I think the reality is to everything in life, and it's a dream living, right? Like, it's a dream lifestyle to a certain extent, but anything that's a dream like that, and to be front and center, you know, at the highest level of bass fishing, obviously, just like any other sport, there's going to be sacrifice, and it's not going to be easy. But I think that we have done a disservice though, like you're saying, trying to say, hey man, all you got to do is get to this level. You get there, buddy. Hey, here come the gold bars. They're going to back a truck up to your front door and unload damn rods and reels and boats. It's my favorite Watson thing is, it's all free. That's my favorite Watson. It's all free. Look at this. It's free. Look, it's free. I love that because that is definitely the misconception. And it still is, no matter how many times we say it, it's definitely the misconception. But if you love it enough, and you're going to work hard enough, and you're obsessed with being a professional bass fisherman, you can certainly do it.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I'm not trying to discourage anybody. And with outlets like the MPFL, there are lots of options, man. There are so many options out there. You don't have to pick one or the other. What was the decision for you though? Because man, a full slate on the BPT and just focusing on that, that's difficult enough, right? Fishing against some of the greatest guys to ever pick up a rod and reel. Is it to get more swings in it in a season? Is it to have a chance to obviously, you know, try to make some more money, the payout, you know, paying $100,000, they got a championship, entry fee free championship. We have the live coverage. Fat Cat screws it up all the time. I'm pretty good at it, but he's terrible. But I mean, is it that? Is it, I mean, were your sponsors like, yeah, man, that's five more chances for exposure? Is that kind of where you're going with it? Or where does that decision come from? Because obviously entry fees exist there and it's expensive.
They do. It is. It's another added cost to me to begin with. Honestly, I didn't go to anybody and say, hey, I'm adding the MPFL events to my schedule. It was something that I personally wanted to do. I didn't care whether they were going to do more or do less because of it. I simply wanted to fish more events, and I was really keyed in on the MPFL events to fish. I have been for a couple of years, and it finally worked out to where I could do them. I talked to Brad several times about it, and I really like where his head's at with it. I really like, you know, the mindset and everything that you guys have. It's a very good fit for a place that I feel like I should be at if I can be there. So when the schedule allowed me to, I was really excited to be able to do it. So I don't know that, you know, obviously I hope that by fishing 5 out of 6 events and getting some more exposure through live and stuff with y'all there that, you know, I can sell myself a little more and get a little bit more out of it. But I just want to get – I want to get started, get fishing, and let's, you know, pieces fall where they do.
Well, I think, too, you'll appreciate the fact that it's got that old FLW feel. When you and I were both first on FLW Tour, that feel that we had – and even going back before you and I were there, you know, I mean, it had a reputation for how it was. And it definitely, for me, working with those guys and then being boots on the ground at events over the last 3 seasons, it's certainly got that overall family. You know, you don't hear a lot of BS most of the time from the anglers. There's not a lot of crap. It's one big community. I mean, obviously they're going to be button heads at times, and anglers are going to bitch and moan. I mean, I have a show where I do it every single week. You know, obviously that's going to happen, but man, overall, it's crazy how smooth the events run. And I'm so proud that you're going to be there, man. And everybody else that's coming and everybody else that's been there for 3 seasons. It's awesome to see. Something that I got to ask Zach Burge, because one of the reasons I've always respected you so much is you are very much a guy that you don't have to wonder what you're thinking. Like, you're going to say it, you're going to put it out there for the world. And you're not going to hide. Like, you are very much who you are, and you're unapologetic about it no matter what. And you're a good damn dude. So I talked about it some last week when I announced I was leaving TH Marine on here. And I talked about people controlling a narrative, right? Like, you're trying to kind of, you know, make sure that what message gets told, that it's got a little spin on it sometimes when we see it, whether it's politics, mainstream media, right? Like, I mean, we see it all the time. And these organizations and fishing are no different, right? So an angler, and I just hinted that an angler had been fined. Well, now there's been an email released this week. I got my hands on it. And James Watson was fined a significant amount of money by MLF for breaking a rule where you can't really speak up. As a guy that definitely is not afraid to speak up, what are your thoughts on, I mean, they shared it with all the anglers. I'm assuming you got it. And transparent, is that transparency, or is that kind of a threat to say, hey, don't get too carried away on what you think about us or giving your opinion out there? What are your thoughts on that? Without getting fined, of course. I don't want you to get fined.
Yeah. I don't want to get fined either. But, you know, I personally don't really agree with it. I don't think it was right. I don't think them finding him is the right thing to do. And James is James. That's how he always is. You know, he's very similar to how I am. I would have done the same thing. I would have said the exact thing he said. I don't really know what their goal is by doing that, you know, because there's a lot of situations, there's a lot of polygraphs that have been failed over years that nobody's done anything about, right?
There wasn't an email about those, right? You know what I mean? Yeah.
The league knows about them. The guys know about them. It's nothing new. It's not like it's something that nobody knows about. Hell, the general public knows about it for the most part. But nothing was done to them, you know. They weren't fined. They weren't sent emails out about, you know, hey, so and so has been fined, you know, 10 grand or whatever for doing this or doing that and failing polygraphs multiple times. So, you know, from that perspective, I don't think this right to do to James by any means. And if I were James, I'd be really upset about it. And I'd fight it. I wouldn't pay 10 grand for that, honestly. But, you know, everybody's a little different. Everybody's going to do their own thing. And, you know, I don't know. It's frustrating for me. And like I said, that's part of the reason I want to go fish something that's like the old, you know, FLW days. Honestly, I took it for granted back then because I didn't know any different. I was young. I was rookie. I was just starting. Looking back on it, I was like, golly, man, it was so nice back in, you know, 15 to 18 or whatever it was, first 3 or 4 years of my career. I was like, man, you know, I didn't realize it. And I would have liked to have been able to fish years before that, you know, if I'd had the opportunity. So now moving forward, I'm trying to put myself in the best position where my mindset is right. I don't get worked up over things, because a couple years I've had it to where I've gotten more and more worked up over things. And it's been just going to a meeting or leaving a meeting. I've been mad before an event, and, you know, things that are supposed to be decided on by anglers to just, you know, you get thrown a rule change or something here and there. It's like, well, hell, I didn't get to vote on that, or I didn't get a say in that. But, you know, I get worked up over it. And if I said something about it, it didn't matter. We weren't changing nothing because of it. So I got to the point where it's like, you know, I don't really give a shit what they do. I just show up, I fish, I catch my fish, do as good as I could, collect my check, and I go to the house, right? So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I just want to show up, catch my fish, make as much money as I can, please the companies that I work for, and come home to my family that I love being around, and doing things at home that I enjoy doing, and I do with a smile on my face. You know, so if that takes fishing more events in different places, where I'm excited to do it and happy to do it, where I feel like people have the same mindset, you know, I don't know where I'll be in 4 or 5 years. I really don't. But I don't know. You know, you think that with all the chaos and stuff that's going on and the way things have been, people bitching about, you know, not getting paid enough or not, you know, entitlement this, entitlement that. And you think you'd just be happy to fish somewhere. And, you know, you think the companies would just kind of lay low and try to please the anglers and keep them happy and move forward without stirring the pot more than they have to, right?
Yeah, you would certainly think so. Yeah.
But I think at that point that, like, those kind of things, I think, just go right over their head. They don't see that. And there's more guys that worked up. I mean, I talk to people quite a bit, and everybody that I talk to seems to be pretty worked up about stuff. But then we get an email that so-and-so's been fined $10,000, and, you know, that's going to make somebody mad about it, because, you know, they I'm sure watched the podcast and listened to what Watson said, and I'm sure they feel very like-minded.
Yeah. So,
he's been fined about it, they're not going to be happy about it. I'm not happy that he got fined.
Well, and I think there's been so much smoke sometimes with all the organizations. I ain't just trying to pick on them. There's been smoke with all the organizations on transparency when somebody gets caught cheating, somebody gets caught doing something, right? Even if it's on camera. You and I had this conversation last year, and there's damn sure not an update that goes out. It doesn't seem to be to all the anglers. So I think it's weird when I got that email, it's strange to me. That it's like, oh, we're just going to let you know about this. Let's let everybody know about this deal. And it's odd, because I do feel like, and I said it last week, and I won't just go down the rabbit hole again, but it is that controlling the narrative. I feel like there are lots of guys, and I know you're a successful dude, but at the same time, you don't want to hand them $10,000 just because you got on Low Budget Live and said, yeah, I didn't think that change was good.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they've got this jurisdiction where they can go, yeah, Zach, well, you owe us 10 grand because you said you didn't like where we were headed. Well, shit, man, that sucks. Like, yeah. You're a damn paying customer. If they were paying you $300,000 a year, you're still entitled to your opinion. Don't get me wrong, but it'd be a different story at that point.
I've got entry fees to pay.
That's right. That's right.
It goes back to cutting the field from 80 to 65 or 50 or whatever their goal is. By eliminating all those people too, you're eliminating paying customers. Like, you're taking all that money right off the top, right? So if money's a factor, if money's a problem, and we're worried about losing money here, losing money there, why are we taking 15, 25, 30 guys away that are paying customers? So you're losing that much more money right off the bat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And those are guys that would be there too, right? Like, if you let them fish, if they're in there, if they requalify through the parameters, you could have an 80-person field. They could have a 100-person field.
100%.
We know that. Yeah, I mean, they could have 150. I mean, it's the with the payout, with the coverage and everything. I mean, it's a good platform for anglers. So they would have as many folks as they want to have.
Right, and. You know, I've heard coverage was a factor in that, not being able to cover all 80 guys. But you don't cover more than about 10 every day anyways, right? So
it's tough. Yeah.
You take a random pick on your start of the tournament, you cover those guys, and based on how day one goes, that's who you pretty much cover the rest of the event. Why is 65 different than 80 or 50 different than 80? So sure, you eliminate, you know, those guys, all that money coming in for entry fees. That doesn't add up to me. You don't have to be the smartest person in the world to figure that out.
Yeah.
By no means the smartest person in the world, but I can see between the lines. That's not the reason behind it, but.
And too, like going back to the Watson thing with the podcast and him speaking out and you saying other anglers saw that and probably were like-minded. This right here, this little device, when we did that podcast, and dude, that was more James than it was me, right? I mean, it was his, I was providing him, you know, we were having a conversation, two friends having a conversation, like-minded friends about certain things, but this thing melted. Okay. And I'm not talking about with fans that are speculating about this or that, but with industry, you know, people that I know, whether it's sponsors, whether it's folks that work for boat factories, whether it's BPT pros, man, I heard from so many people, and there were very, very few of them that were like, Watson shouldn't have came on there and said that. I disagree. It was very much in support of James. And I think James got the same from most people he talked to as well.
Oh, 100%. I talked to him for a good long time about it. And he was, you know, he was pretty upset about it. It's not upset. Like he was mad about it.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I get it. I 100% get it.
Yeah. It's certainly, it's a shame, man. It's a shame that it's all here. And I see, it's funny, in the last few weeks, guys that have kind of been in the controversy and they get talked about on podcasts or videos or whatever, they're all about, we got to stop the negativity. Well, and I hear tournament organizations say that, and I'm like, well, stop putting gas on the damn fire. People will stop talking and stating what's actually happening if you'll just stop acting like an asshole.
like the email we just got. Like, why even send it out?
Why?
I mean, if you want to bring it up in a meeting where it's not blasted to everybody that's got an MLF address, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, and the funny thing for me is no matter how many times they find people or whatever happens, like I end up with most things like that just because people are pissed off and they feel like they can't speak up. Even before the fine started, I get it from numerous people. Anytime anything happens, like I get that stuff because guys are like, hey, you should probably talk about this because this is BS and you're the voice, you know, that kind of thing. And I appreciate that people think that of me, but it's certainly funny because they're like, well, we'll stop this. We'll stop these guys from talking. Well, you probably won't. You probably won't. Like, it is what it is. And I do want to say, Zach, I'm not trying to drag you into my bad graces here that I keep with people, but I am going to take. I'm going to print that email, and I am definitely putting it in the bar and grill because it's the first time. Now I got my job threatened over this podcast and things back in the day, but. It's the first $10,000 fine for LBL. So that's a little, I'm sorry. James has got it, right? He can cover it. Okay. That's that. Yeah. But that's a little thing of pride for me, dude. I'm going to have it right here. I'm going to hang it right here over my shoulder.
Good spot for it.
It is a perfect spot, man. I was trying to sell it to a sponsor. Screw that. MLF $10,000 fine right there.
Roll with it.
Or a you know, I was hoping, I shouldn't say hoping, but back last year during all the crazy you follow lawyer drama, I was like, dude, I'm going to get like a letter from an attorney. That's going to go right there. Nah, never happened.
Never got one from that guy.
I never got one. I got Facebook messages from him, but I never got anything official. And he threatened to sue me via Facebook, but I'm like, well, damn, if you're a lawyer, let's go.
Oh, no. Just like him to threaten stuff.
Yeah, it was very disappointing.
And put them on the wall.
Yeah, I know. I've got all kind of memorabilia out here and stuff fans have sent me over the years. But man, I'm very proud of that. Proud of that fact. Well, regardless of that, dude, I think your mindset And just knowing you as long as I have now, you talked about this last fall, and I appreciate you being so open, but that you were very much tunnel vision and you were trying not to get as fired up about things. And I can tell just from texting back and forth and having conversations with you, you definitely have. You're not letting it get in your head near as much as it could. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was fired up about stuff, 2 years ago specifically. And last year I got a lot better about it. And now I'm at the point where, you know, I've got so much other stuff going on around me right now with other businesses and the hunting stuff. Like I enjoy the hunting stuff so much. And it's, you know, it's a, don't get me wrong, it's a shitload of work, but
yeah.
It's,
oh yeah.
Like it is fun. I enjoy it. I love seeing smiles on customers' faces. You know, when I get to take pictures of them holding up their ducks and they're all smiling and, you know, talking about the whole day, it's that goes so far with me. I don't get that a lot when I'm fishing, other than when I catch a good bag or, you know, I'm, you know, at the end of a good day, I'm happy about it. But I still deal with chaos throughout that stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
So I've tried to take my mind off a lot of the fishing stress that's involved with the stuff we're going through, and put a lot of effort towards other things. And at the same time, you know, I'm not by any means letting up as far as the fishing side goes or doing my job there. It's just,
oh man, yeah,
I'm not getting worked up about the small things. I'm not sitting here stewing at night over dumb stuff. I'm simply, when I go do my job for fishing, I make sure everything's done. You know, all my contracts are fulfilled, and I show up, my fish, I work my ass off. When I'm done, I'm done. I go home, I do the next thing on my priority list, which is dirt work, or, you know, plant for next season, or do dirt work there, pump water or something. It's always something that I need to get done. And there for a time, I was stewing over stuff for way too long, and it was getting to me a lot. I was pretty salty to be around, and that's just not how I normally am. So I've tried to do better and get away from that stuff, and just really not sweat the small stuff.
Well, and I think that comes with growing up too. You're getting older. You got a great family. You got a support system behind you that's amazing. And dude, I just, cause I knew you before kids and everything. And like, man, I see those posts, with you and the kids, and it's awesome to see, man. That's the coolest thing about this industry is the relationships. And for me, it's just, I'm so damn happy for y'all and so many others, man, to watch y'all grow in this sport, become who you've become, but also become these family men. And it's just really, really refreshing to see.
Yeah. I appreciate that. That's,
yeah, man.
That's the way I am now too. I enjoy coming home to the kids and seeing smiles on their faces, and that means so much more to me than the dumb shit we deal with.
the drama. And honestly, man, with pro fishing the way it's gotten in the last few years, it's going to change. It's like the weather. If you don't like it, just hang on a few more minutes. There's just going to be some other thing that we're going to talk about next week. I feel like, which I'm certainly a guy that's benefited from it, right? Because I'm not afraid to dive off into it, but it's really astonishing sometimes when you look back and go, holy crap, the last 4 years have been freaking insane, man.
Hey, the industry needed a low budget live.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if some of the industry thinks, I don't know if they agree with you. Some, yeah,
some of it won't agree with me, but the majority will.
Yeah. It? Well, I appreciate that, buddy. It's always a good time. I was at the Big Rock show, for a few hours this past week. And it's always awesome to walk around, and I had a badge on from a buddy of mine at Eagle Claw, and this guy from Big Rock came by as soon as I walked in the door, and he goes, "You're not that guy. I'm a lowlifer." And I said, yeah. Like, right when I walked in the door, and it was just fun, man, getting to talk to everybody. And, you know, after making the announcement, the support that this industry has shown me after the announcement of leaving TH, and just all the supporters of the show and all my dear friends in the fishing world, man, it was, it's been a good last couple of weeks, man. It's, and so 2024 and beyond is going to be a good damn time. Ain't no doubt. And I know it'll be the same for you. Real quick, where can folks find you? I know we're winding down duck season, but where can folks find information to book you guys for next season? And also just send me the weekend that we're going next year.
Well, you can just show up and roll anytime you want to. I've been asked that question a lot, it seems like, the last week, and I've told everybody the same thing. Normally we would open our books up around March to book the following year, and we're not going to do that this coming year. The customers that we've had this year have already spoken for their dates.
Wow.
Everything for next season's already pre-booked. So we're not taking on any new customers, which I wish there was more time, right? So I could take more people. Yeah. I wish I could do more for customers that want to come and want to enjoy this. At the same time, we've got really great customers that love being here. They're super fun to be around. They have a blast. And, you know, if they want to rebook the next year, they want an extra weekend. They've been with us since the start, actually, because this will be our second year. And the guys that are hunting with us this year, most of them have hunted last year, and they've already pre-booked next year.
That's so awesome, man. That means you're doing something right.
I'm really happy about that. It means a lot to me and all the rest of the guys that are in this with me to see that. So that means we're doing something right.
And yeah, no doubt.
I want to keep that going.
I think what you're doing right is all those green heads I see hanging from those daggum straps, son. Y'all are filling up them straps.
We've been fortunate. We've had for the circumstances that have been presented to us this year, we've had a really good year. So I'd love to see, I can't wait to see it on a good year, a really good year.
Well, I'm happy for you on that, man. And so all you low lifers listening, you're not going duck hunting with Zach. I am. You're not invited. It's very clear. He's booked up for next year. I'm going to try to slide in there. And as long as I don't bring my calls, he might let me go. Nobody wants me on a duck call. Nobody.
If we do, what I've been telling, if we do have an opening that pops up, it'll be posted on social media on either my page or somebody's. But it'll get around if something happens to show up. But right now, everything's pre-booked for the whole season.
That's awesome, man. Well, congrats on that. And, dude, I hate we're not going to see you at Logan Martin, but it's going to be a hell of a year with MPFL. And I can't wait, man, to see how this year plays out. I hope it's your best one yet. And thanks for once again being the dude that comes on here and is open-minded and also speaks his mind. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, dude.
Thanks.
All right. That's all she wrote with Mr. Bird himself. Love that one, man. Short and sweet. Never afraid to give you his opinions whatsoever. And if he gets fined, we may have to start a GoFundMe for he and I for legal fees and for getting fined. Things are wild. Things are wild. But super pumped to have Zach on the MPFL, though, and all the other anglers. And, I be getting ready to watch, y'all. Be getting ready to watch. There's going to be a lot of bass fishing to watch. Don't really have a lot of conflicts this year with other trails. It's going to be a big year. It's going to be a fun year. And I know you lowlifers will be along for the ride. Appreciate each and every one of y'all. Lots to come. Just trust me on that. Trust me on that. Going to be making a lot of announcements in the coming weeks. Going to take you out with Biloxi Blues. And I'll see y'all next week. See you.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy.
to getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.